Ghosts. That's it. That's the story. Episode over. Just kidding. Today on Star Queen Paranormal, we'll be talking about the Enfield case. Stay tuned, little Stardusties. Only on Star Queen Paranormal. Star Queen Paranormal.
Things are a bit off.
Align the stars with the bizarre.
Oh, every day that makes you say, hey.
This is Star Queen Paranormal for the enthusiasts of the strange and the extraordinary.
Star Queen Paranormal. Hey there, all you Stardusties. This is your meringue of the mystic pie. Your irradiated walrus. Courier of the crawlers. Enthusiast of the strange and extraordinary. And the ink you used to sign your soul away. I am Exy, the star pirate. The space queen. Think I mixed those up? I meant star queen and space pirate. And just a gentle reminder that this podcast is for entertainment and education purposes only. Skeptics are welcome. Speaking of welcome, welcome little Stardusties to the very 28th episode. As I mentioned in the teaser, the Enfield case. I said ghosts, but it could also be poltergeists or even demons. I guess I'll let you decide for yourself when I read the juicy part of the episode. Real quick, let me give you some stuff on the number 28. Since today is the 28th episode, and I rather like random trivia, so here is some stuff about the number 28. It is believed the angel number 28 is a message that your self-belief, confidence, and positive attitude have ensured that abundance will enter your life. The number 28 is the square root of 784. In a standard box of dominoes, there are 28 tiles in the game. 28 is the atomic number of nickel. The melting point of butter starts at 28 degrees Celsius. And in numerology, the number 28 represents self-determination, independence, relationships, diplomacy, and business. And that's just some stuff on the number 28. Thank you for being here on my 28th episode. I'm just going to jump right in to Terrible Tarot. For those of you just joining Star Queen Paranormal. Star Queen Paranormal! I like to call this segment Terrible Tarot. Why is it terrible? Well, it's short and sweet. And you wouldn't pay me for this reading. However, if you would like to give me money, I have a segment called Not So Terrible Tarot, exclusive for Patreon. So if you'd like to be an exclusive Stardusty, head on over to patreon.com/StarQueenParanormal. Now, as you can hear here, I'm shuffling pretty terribly. That's the name of the bit, you see? You see? I take the cards and I shuffle them. And your cards for today are the Four of Cups, the Devil, and the Knight of Swords. Ooh, and we have the Nine of Cups at the bottom of the deck. Gaze deeply into the void while I gaze deeply into your cards. Well, Stardusties, I don't know if you believe in signs, but the cards are snitching on you here. And they're saying that you can ignoring signs from the universe, signs you've been asking for, signs you've been waiting for. You've been ignoring your intuition about something. Or maybe you received a sign that it was the right time to do something, and you got caught up in overthinking. This overthinking has led you to feel chained to something, maybe feel a little selfish or greedy. It's caused you to do or feel something where if you looked within yourself, You wouldn't be very proud of what you'd see or feel? The advice from the tarot is to stop overthinking. At least stop overthinking every little thing. Sometimes you just have to go for things. Sometimes you just have to charge. Sometimes you have to let your heart lead. If you can convince yourself to stop overthinking about every little thing, the cards are saying that you're going to be a very happy person indeed, with all their wants and needs met. Get out of your head a little bit! Just a little. And that was truly terrible. Terrible! In today's quote from Whatever I Feel Like Quoting, confront the dark parts of yourself and work to banish them with illumination and forgiveness. Your willingness to wrestle with your demons will cause your angels to sing. And that quote was from playwright August Wilson. Just a quick headline for you today. This was written August 26, 2022 on NPR. An Ice Age bison was discovered and then eaten. In 1979, gold miners discovered the mummified body of a 55,000-year-old steppe bison, which was preserved in the Alaskan tundra. They found that the mummified bison had incredibly well-preserved skin, muscles, and skeleton. It was in near-perfect condition given its age. They affectionately gave it the nickname Blue Babe, carved up a little bit of the neck, and ate it. Not the whole thing, just a little bit of the neck. Still, this makes me really wonder what it is about discovering mummies that convinces people to take a bite out of it. And if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, the short answer is that people used to eat the Egyptian mummies when they were discovered. I encourage you to look that up. Maybe I can change the name from Star Queen Paranormal to Star Queen Random Stuff, and I can do an episode on that. I found a Reddit story! I mean, I have several saved, but I found one that I wanted to share today. It has nothing to do with the episode, but it is on the subreddit Glitch in the Matrix, written about a year ago by a user named LiquidGold83. And this Reddit user basically says they got a phone call from their neighbor late in the evening asking if they could help him move a mattress. So he goes over there, he meets a gentleman who is also a priest and a friend of that neighbor, and all three of them figure out how to get the mattress up the stairs. They get it all settled away. And before this user goes, the neighbor asks if they were interested in helping him move an armoire upstairs. So they start getting the armoire up the stairs, and here's where I'm going to quote it. The front stairs are 11 steps. I was on the lower end of the armoire, about 6 steps up, when my neighbor and his friend lose a handle on the armoire, and it comes crashing down on me, and I fall backwards toward the pavement. Then I wake up in my dining room to my phone ringing and my wife asking me if I was going to answer the phone. It's my neighbor asking me if I can help move a bed upstairs for his mom. I go over there and meet the friend, who happened to be a priest, as this officially has been the first time I met him. I tell my neighbor that I can help with the bed, but I cannot help with the armoire. And my neighbor said, "How'd you know about the armoire?" To which I proceeded to tell them that I'm pretty sure I just died. I spent the next hour talking with the priest. He had so many questions. My neighbor didn't believe it until I described the bedroom upstairs in perfect detail, down to the metal mattress frame on the floor and the intricate headboard leaning against the wall. And to him, I had never been upstairs in their house before. The takeaway was that I experienced my death but woke up alive about 20 minutes earlier in my life. And I just thought that was a really interesting Glitch in the Matrix story. Anyway, this is where I advise you to salt your doorways, because we're going to listen to the promo for Shamblefest.
Hey! Welcome to Shamblefest.
I'm Jess.
I'm Amber. And we are your one-stop weekly shop for news shambles.
We're a weekly WTF and current events comedy podcast. We drop episodes every Monday morning. Tune in.
Shamble on.
Today we're going to be talking about the Enfield haunting. It is claimed to be one of the most documented and most witnessed paranormal cases in history, but I find that most of the ones I come across are the most something. Everyone likes to tout their mostiness. It all begins August 1977, when single mother Peggy Hodgson heard loud noises coming from her daughter's bedroom. Her two daughters shared a bedroom, so she just thought they were up horsing around. As any mother would do, she went to the girls' bedroom to tell them to settle down for the night. The girls were Margaret, age 12, and Janet, age 11. She crossed the threshold expecting to see her adolescent daughters playing and doing what 11 and 12-year-olds do. But as she crossed the threshold, she noticed they weren't in their beds. In fact, she was surprised to see that Margaret and Janet were huddled in the corner of their bedroom with looks of terror on their face. The chest of drawers was moving toward the door, the girls told their mother.
Oh, don't be silly, replied Peggy. That's when the chest of drawers began to move again, resuming its progression to the door, all on its own.
Almost as though some unseen presence were trying to trap them all in the room. Peggy rushed to the runaway furniture, and she attempted to push it back, but the chest of drawers wouldn't budge. In a panic, Peggy gathered all four of her children and rushed them to a neighbor's home across the street. The neighbor's husband went to check out the house for himself, and he came back after hearing strange noises. Unsure of what else to do, Peggy called the police. The police arrived at 284 Green Street in Brimstone, Enfield, in London, and they began to investigate the house themselves. A police constable who investigated the scene reported that she had seen a chair wobble and slide across the room, but could not determine the cause of the movement. After investigating, police decided that it really wasn't a police matter and left Peggy and her kids to their own devices. The Hodgson family would then endure 18 months of horrifying poltergeist and haunting activity. In a more recent interview with People magazine, Margaret would say, "We didn't understand what was happening. We went through periods where we just couldn't believe what happened, really. It's frightening. We didn't like to be on our own in the house or anything." Desperate for some kind of answer, Peggy contacted the Daily Mirror to investigate the hauntings. When the Daily Mirror's investigation team came, the house was quiet for hours, and the investigation team was, well, they were preparing to leave. And that's when a mystery Lego came out of nowhere and smacked the photographer in his eye. That was said to have left a mark for a few days. So that's when the Daily Mirror contacted the Society for Psychical Research, SPR for short. And that's when a researcher named Morris Gross and Guy Lyon Playfair, were sent to investigate. Morris Gross claims to have witnessed more than 2,000 different incidents of supernatural activity at the Enfield house. And some of it was documented, but it is said that furniture would tip over, empty cups would fill with water, fires would start seemingly out of nowhere. The investigators would hear disembodied voices, and they have caught incidents of the girls levitating. Gross and Playfair
would also report that they heard whistling and strange barking noises coming from Janet's general direction. And in one of the interviews about this case, Gross talks about a time when I think they had like a voice recorder or sound recorder. Anyway, they heard Janet being dragged from her bed. So they rushed to the stairs to see what was going on. And they got to the stairs just in time to witness Janet being thrown headfirst down the stairs. Of that incident, Janet would say she felt cold hands yank her by the arms and drag her out of bed. And those cold arms gripped her by the body, and that's when she was tossed down the stairs. Gross captured pictures. There's like a hidden camera in the room, and he's got picture evidence of Janet supposedly levitating. On December 14th, 1977, two people walking by the house reported seeing Janet laying horizontally and levitating in front of the window. And she seemed confused and panicked. And it wasn't long after that where Gross noticed the barking noises, the strange barking noises I mentioned earlier, coming from Janet. And being the investigator that he was, he talked to the barking sounds coming from Janet until it started to form words. Now, if you watch the videos of this, it's Janet with a really gruff, masculine-sounding voice, but it's very deep for a 11-year-old girl. And sometimes they would talk to this voice that they believed was Janet channeling a spirit, or spirits, multiple spirits, I think. And she was able to maintain these conversations for hours. But the main spirit that was channeled called himself Bill Wilkins. Which, it was later discovered that a man named Bill Wilkins did die in that house. And in the 1970s, that information would have been a little bit more difficult to come by for a child. In a later interview, Janet would describe the channeling sessions as feeling like somebody was standing behind her and gripping her from the back of her neck. Which, if you've read about possessions, I think that's actually a really common spot for people to feel the entities. During the 18 months of hauntings, famous demonologists Ed and Lorraine Warren were asked to investigate, and they determined that they were indeed dealing with something truly supernatural. The 2016 movie, The Conjuring 2, was very loosely based on Ed and Lorraine's investigation of the Enfield house. Maybe not loosely based. It is based on that investigation, but details were added to make it movie length and more interesting, I think. It is said that over 30 investigators came through the house and witnessed something paranormal during this 18-month time period. And some paranormal researchers and skeptics doubted the incidents, especially the possession or channeling, because it's an 11-year-old girl, and it just seems like she's making weird sounds. They brought in an expert ventriloquist, who believed Janet to just be performing vocal tricks, and a magician named Milbourne Christopher, who was an American stage magician, concluded that the poltergeist was nothing more than the antics of a little girl who wanted to cause trouble and who was very, very clever. Now, in later interviews, Janet and Margaret said that there were a few instances where they were faking it, but insisted that Plaffeer would catch them every single time, and that accounted for less than 2% of what was actually going on for them. As adults, they still stuck by the idea that they were being haunted or possessed. In 2015, Deborah Hyde perhaps said it best of the Enfield incident when she said, "The first thing to note is that the occurrences didn't happen under controlled circumstances. People frequently see what they expect to see, their senses being organized and shaped by their prior experiences and beliefs. And skeptics refuted the channeling sessions, stating that the sounds were produced by false vocal cords above the larynx and had the phraseology and vocabulary of a child. And there is an interview where both girls were asked the question, "How does it feel to be haunted by a poltergeist?" Janet replied, "It's not haunted." And Margaret, in a hushed tone, interrupted Janet and said, "Shut up." And this interview is often used by skeptics as evidence against the case. Also, a magician, not the same one, mentioned that the poltergeist tended to act only when it was not being watched, and concluded that the incidents were best explained as children's pranks. Now, the main investigator, Morris Gross, obviously believed there was something supernatural going on, and he did. He had recordings and video, and the magician, Bob Cootey, said, "He made some of the recordings available to me, and having listened to them very carefully, I came to the conclusion that there was nothing in what I had heard that was beyond the capabilities of an imaginative teenager." So, Stardusties, what do you believe? Do you believe that this was a teenager's prank that went out of hand? After all, it wouldn't be the first time a teenage prank spiraled out of control and made history. Or do you see the Enfield haunting as a legitimate, thoroughly researched poltergeist, demonic, or ghost case? Do you have your own experience with a poltergeist or a demon or ghosty friend? Any other paranormal topics you would like to discuss? We'd love to hear from you. Write to us at starqueenparanormal@gmail.com. Check us out at starqueenparanormal on Facebook and Instagram. And occasionally there will be a TikTok or so, if I can get my act together. Make it rain by throwing some coin at us at patreon.com/starqueenparanormal, where for as little as a dollar, you can access exclusive content, all while getting to tell others that you are an exclusive Stardusty. That could be you! And so, Stardusties, remember to eat a fruit or a vegetable sometime. Fruit is nature's candy. And it's healthy. It helps you vibrate at a higher frequency if you are into that. It gets its energy from the sun. Speaking of the sun, be sure that you bask in the day glow yourself occasionally, especially in these winter months, because I get struck with seasonal stuff. And sometimes it just turns out I need to feel a ray of sunshine on my skin. Now, definitely not the cure for everybody. Mental illness is very real and very complicated. But for me, sunlight, it's like the opposite of vampirism. Speaking of vampires, always remember that you are mightier than the monsters. Until next time, on to the next phase in life! May your path be paved in starlight, and continue existing as you would, my dudes.